Welcome to our third session of the series that we're calling Warrior. It's a session that's really aimed at men, but of course I think the women are getting about as much out of it as we guys are. So with that thought, how many warrior princesses do I... Can you make some noise? Come on! All right! Yeah. Whoa! I even got my microphone excited. That's... Whoa! All right, guys. Now, how many of you warriors? How many warriors have I got here today? How many warriors are in the house? Come on! Whoa! 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 All right, man, this is gonna be good. How many of you guys enjoy guy movies? You know, not chick flicks, but guy. I mean, come on, shoot 'em up, bleeding. Come on. Ah, yeah. You know the guy. He's always the good guy wins. You know, and if he dies, it's always at the end of the movie. And they'll shoot him 18 times, you know, and he's still fighting. They'll stab him with a knife. He just pulls the knife out, just keeps on fighting. Shoot him with an arrow. He just breaks it off, you know, and just keeps on fighting. And while the movies are fictitious, they do tell us something about men, about warriors, is that we're notorious for not acknowledging our wounds. We're bad about not letting people know that we're hurting. And I remember Lance and I were fishing in the Gulf of Mexico, and I crushed my thumb. Some of you remember it. I mean, I crushed it. And Lance looked at it and said, "Dad, we got to go to the hospital." "Oh, we ain't going to the hospital." Took a rag, wrapped it up, stuck it in the live well. "Keep on fighting, fishing." The ice, just stick it down in the cooler, you know. And that was okay until a couple of days later, and it wasn't getting any better. And so I go to the doctor and I X-ray it, and the bone's crushed. I mean, and it's splintered. Shows me the X-ray. And he says, "Sir, do you realize that gangrene can set up in that? Do you realize you might lose your thumb because you didn't get immediate attention?" Yes, no, I didn't. Don't think I realized that. fishing, fighting wasn't as necessary when he told me that. And my point in saying all that is because us guys, we do. We have a reluctancy to share our wounds and talk about them. That's what we're going to be talking about today, is the wounded warrior. And the main thing is the primary way a man is wounded that he has to deal with all of his life. It sets in there and it shoots him in the heart, and he has to deal with this all of his life, is he's wounded by his own father. So today I want to talk about this. And it's amazing how frequently this takes place and how much of this there is. Way more than I think I thought or was aware of. So before I get into the wounded part, let me show you a scripture that talks about the good part, how it should be, how a relationship should be between a father and a son. Let me read this to you. It's in Psalms 127, verse 4. It says this, "Like arrows in the hands of a what? Of a warrior. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate." Now, it's a beautiful passage, and what this passage shows to us is a picture of a proper relationship between a warrior man and a warrior son. How they contend in a relationship through life together. Every enemy that comes against the family, every enemy that comes against one another, that they contend together to ward that off, and they contend together in life. And if you have a relationship with a son, as I do with mine, then you know how blessed that is. Or if you have a relationship with your father, as I did with my father, you know how blessed that is. Sadly, and unfortunately, that's not the norm. In fact, what I want to term this today is most men have what I want to call today as the warrior, as the father wound, the father wound. And it's the deepest wound that a man can have. Now, it was amazing to me as I looked through the scriptures at this thing and just did some research just to see if to find some passages that I could relate to you. And astoundingly, It's far easier to find wounded father-son relationships in the Scriptures than it is to find good relationships. It was amazing to me. We had just finished our study with David, and one of the classic examples of what I'm telling you was the relationship between David and Absalom, his son Absalom. He gave Absalom the father wound, and you remember the story. Absalom was David's second oldest son, and he had an older half-brother named Amnon, and Absalom had a full sister named Tamar. And Amnon, his half-brother, raped his sister Tamar. And David didn't do anything about it. And this was a father wound to Absalom. And you know how that story worked out. It so hurt Absalom that he had Amnon killed. And then as the story progresses, we find that Absalom actually rebels against his father in a way unprecedented nearly, that he tries to overthrow the kingdom of God, take David's throne, but also kill his own father David. Why? Because of a father wound. It's so common in the Scriptures. Abraham with Ishmael. I mean, though he was doing what God said do, Abraham did, and kicked out Ishmael and Hagar from the house. I mean, can you still imagine the father wound that Ishmael suffered? Why did you do that to my mom? Just all through the Scriptures, like Isaac with Esau and Jacob. Father wound in both of them. They both wanted their dad's blessing. And Jacob wanted it so badly that he pretended to be Esau to get it. And then there was the father wound so bad that Jacob had to leave home. Father wound. Jacob didn't know better. He starts having his sons. He's got 12 of them. He's got a real quiver full of them. But he wounds all of them by favoritizing Joseph. Joseph is his favorite, and he just wounds all the rest of them. And you know how that ended up? Through Joseph in a pit, sold him into slavery. It's all through Scriptures you find this. Jesus even told us the story about the parable of the prodigal. Remember that story? The father has two sons. The youngest son rebels. He says, okay, here's your inheritance. He goes, he squanders it away on riotous living and women. Finds himself in a pig pen. But then comes to his senses, the Bible says, repents and comes back home. And the father did what was right. He ran to the son, greeted him, kissed him on the neck, gave him the robe and the ring, and threw him a big party. But what did that do to the other son? The other son comes, why are you doing this? Dad, this isn't right. Listen, I have served you, I've honored you, I've done it right, and then you reward rebellion? This isn't right, Dad. Father wound. All through the Scriptures. Noah gets drunk in his tent. Curses his own grandson. Now what did that do to Ham, the father? And to the grandson? A father wound. You know, and I spoke earlier about David. You know, when Samuel went to David's home to find the king, anoint the king of Israel, he goes to the home there and Jesse gets all the boys there except David. He's just a squirt. He's just a runt. He's just out there he's not important. And so you kind of wonder, well, is this the way David treated his sons? Just a kid. They're not important. Father wound. It's a serious, serious issue. You see, a son needs his dad. He needs his dad when things get tough. When you feel rejected by the world, when things aren't going right, you need your dad. And Jesus is a classic example of this, hanging on the cross. Hanging on the cross, Jesus in Matthew 27, verse 46 says this, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me? You feel Jesus' pain. You know, Daddy, Daddy, what did I do wrong? Dad, come on. You're supposed to be helping me. Could I have done it better? And you wonder how many sons today feel forsaken. You know, the Bible says that Jesus was tested and tempted in all ways, like we are. So even in this, you know, why Jesus says, why? And some of you, grown men, warriors in the kingdom, mighty men of God. But inside of you, there is a 6-year-old boy or a 14-year-old boy or a 18-year-old young man that still asks your dad, why? Dad, why? Dad, why did you leave us? Why, Dad? Why, Dad, did you do that to Mom? Why, Dad? Why'd you get drunk all the time? Why were you mean to me? Why'd you hit me, Dad? Dad, could I have done better? Was it something I said? Dad, why didn't you spend time with me? Why didn't you love me? Dad, why did you wound me? I want to help us all understand what goes on inside of the heart of a wounded warrior. I want to help the wounded warrior help himself to be healed, but also help him not do that to his sons. I want to help you women to understand how large a thing this is in your man or your children. I want to help us understand how this happens and what it goes off inside of us. I'm going to mention a couple of things, but one of the primary things that happens inside of a wounded warrior is a prison of performance. The wounded warrior, the young boy, the son, never had the validation from his father, never had the approval from his dad. And so because he never got that, he now reflects his worth on his performance. He equates what he does to how worthy he is. How worthy he is to his wife, how worthy he is to his church, how worthy he is to his children, how worthy he is to his employer. It's all worth-based and not love-based. He's in a prison of performance. See, a son needs to hear, boy, you hit that ball well. You knocked it out of the park. The son needs to hear, you're smart. You are so intelligent. How did you learn that? A son needs to hear, man, you made great grades. I am so proud of you. You did so well. They need to be validated for their performance and the things they do, sure. But they also need to be validated and affirmed and approved also in not only in their accomplishments, but also in their character. I saw what you did for that elderly couple. That is so cool. I'm so proud of you. You didn't have to do that. I saw what you did for your friends. Listen, I know you didn't want to do it, but I know you did it because you felt like that was the right. I am so. I see you turning from a boy into a man of integrity. Not just in accomplishments, but also in character. And when we do this, we're going to create a person, a man, a warrior man, who is not wounded in his heart, in his strength, but is able to pull off life the way life is to be pulled off. The father wound happens when a young man or a son or a boy is not validated and approved by his dad in those areas, but also when things that should receive a validation and approval and encouragement turns into nothing but constant criticism. When we constantly criticize instead of encourage, we wound the warrior. And the warrior goes through life in a prison of performance, equating his worth to what he does and not who he is. To what he does and not to his character. And this bleeds down into the relationship that the young man, that the warrior has with God. He bases his salvation on performance and not unconditional love. Maybe if I do enough for God, if I do enough in church, if I do enough, then God will love me and God will accept me. Now, that's part of it, the prison of performance. But also, I want to make sure that we get this point as well. Here's another thing that's going on in the wounded warrior's heart. And the wounded warrior's heart is this, is that hurt people hurt people. I've told you this story before. I was driving, and this is years and years ago, and these kids were playing over here in this front yard, and I was driving, and the dog ran out in front of my car. I didn't intend to hit the dog, but I did. I couldn't not hit the dog. And I ran over the dog, and, you know, what do you normally do in those situations? You just keep going, right? But the kids were playing, and I ran over their dog. And the dog wasn't dead. I looked in the mirror, and it was hollering, hurting. And so I wanted to do the right thing. So I pulled over, and I got out. And I went back, and the kids come running out. And I go back, and I kneeled down beside the dog, you know. And I went to help the dog, to take the dog into the house. And you know what that dog did to me? We all know, right? What does a hurt animal, a wounded animal, do to you when you try to help it? It will bite you. And so, wife, children, understand that a lot of the hurt that your warrior inflicts on you is because he's hurting. Not because you just made him mad, but he's hurting. And you need to learn, warrior princes, you need to learn not to try to handle him now. Don't pick him up. He'll bite you. You need to help him get healed. Be the helper you're created to be. And understand, if you try to handle him, he's going to hurt you. He doesn't intend to. It's not his intention. He will hurt you. He will hurt his children. He will hurt people he loves and people that love him. It's a serious issue. A wounded warrior. And it's big. And it's way bigger than a lot of us realize. I think that if you are wounded, you kind of think you're the only one that's suffering this. And that's not true. And if you don't experience the wound, I think you minimize it and you say, well, this is not that big of a thing. But as I look at Scripture and I look at life, I see a lot of this. So what I want us to see is that God wants to heal us. He wants to heal warriors. And so we're going to start talking about that a little bit now. What does God want to do? How does he want to heal us? Let me show you this. It's in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, he will turn the hearts. He will what now? Turn the hearts. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. And same thing, he will turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. Now, as we've seen, there's a tremendous problem between fathers and children. But God wants to heal that. Now, how does he heal it? How does that verse say he's going to heal it? He's going to heal it by turning hearts. And here's what I want you to hear me say, is that turning hearts require effort. And it's not just turning the father's hearts, or only turning the children's hearts, it's turning both hearts. And the thing I want you to hear me say is this, is that turning requires effort, and that's where the battle lies for the warrior. That's where you have to step up, suck up the pain, suck up the hurt, and make the turn. Because somebody's got to turn first. If somebody doesn't turn, it's just going to keep going further and further and further apart. Somebody's got to turn. And the bigger the wound, the bigger the battleship, the bigger the cruise liner, the further, the more space it takes to turn. If it's a small hurt, if it's not that big of a thing, maybe you can turn quickly. But what I've learned over the years is that there's pretty big wounds, and it takes a big time to turn. And the question isn't, can you do it? You have the Spirit of God in you. You can do it. That's not the issue. The issue is, will you do it? Will you be the warrior? Will you step up and take the battle and do it? He wants to turn hearts. So how does this turning take place? How do we go about this? How does this work out? Let me give you two principles. Of course, I'm limited on time and just wanting to just get you thinking. I want to give you two basic principles as to how this turn takes place. Let me say this initially. On the first one, many of you have already done it. You're here in this church, and I know you've heard it, so I know you've kind of done this first one. But let me amplify it to you one more time, and then maybe I can really help you more on the second one. But the first one is this. The first one is, the warrior must forgive his father. And here's the kicker, and I want you to see this. He must forgive the father through Christ. Let me show you the scripture. He must forgive the father through Christ. Let me show you this. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance. Let me emphasize that. Whatever grievance you have against one another. Now, leave that up there. Let me talk just a second. Forgive whatever grievance. But, Delbert, you weren't there. You weren't the one getting slapped. You weren't there. You weren't the one seeing what he did to Mom. You weren't there. I can't handle this. I can get by this one and this one, but I can't get by this one. That's whatever grievance. And what you have to do is approach it the way this verse says to approach it. And if you will approach it the way this verse says to approach it, you will be able to do it, and you will be able to handle it. Now let me read the verse in its entirety, or at least most of it. It says, forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as. Here's how you do it. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive how? As the Lord forgave. You see, when the Lord forgave you, he didn't say, okay, I can get by this one and I can get by this one, but man, this one's just too bad. That's not what he did. Wiped them all off. His relationship with you is not based on what you did. He forgave you everything. Now, you don't forgive the sin. I mean, you forgive the sin, but what I'm trying to say is that you don't forget what happened. And I'm going to try to make this clear as we move through this. But you see, what you've got to do is you've got to work through this part of it and forgive just like you were forgiven. Now, let me help us this way. You see, a son idolizes his dad. This is how God wires us. A son idolizes his dad. My son, Lance, idolized me, and I meant to try to find it, but he was in grammar school, and so they wanted him, and it's not in my notes, but anyway, I'm just thinking about it, so I wanted to share it with you, and they told him, said, we want you to make a clay mold of your idol, of the person. And all these kids come to school with all these superheroes, you know. Lance made one of me. Now, I didn't think it looked like me, but she did. Anyway, the sons idolize their. It's the my dad's better than your dad thing, you know. And this is how kids are wired. And when a kid idolizes his dad, he puts him up on this pedestal where he's perfect. And you might say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, when you're at the pinnacle, at the top, there's no place to go but down. And when I realized that I could not live up to his expectations of me, his perfection that he had in his mind, it wasn't such a good thing anymore. And no man can. No father can live up to the expectations of their sons, the perfection that their son has of them. Can't happen. And so what you have to do is start moving in this and learn that this is how it's going to work out. Now let me give you the second one, because let me work on this forgiveness thing just a second, because I got a little ahead of myself. So let me work back on the forgiveness part. Forgiveness has gotten a bum rap. Forgiveness sounds wimpy to us guys. Forgiveness sounds like, oh, you just being a Mr. Nice Guy. Well, let me tell you the truth. When I forgive, it's not because I am being a nice guy. When I forgive, it's because I want to come out on top. It's because I want to win. And I wrote this in one of the lessons that we had before, and we didn't have time to get into it. I read it all over my time anyway. But I had this written, and maybe one day I can get back to it. Because when you study forgiveness, it's not for the person you're forgiving. It's so you'll win. Give, and it shall be. See, and this is how all of this stuff works out. And so here's what I'm really trying to communicate here. You don't forgive because you're just being a nice guy, or because you're backing down, or because you're being wimpy, because you're never going to win and be healed from the hurt until there's a power of forgiveness in your life. You can't experience and get through the power and the pain of it until you experience the power of the forgiveness of it. You will never experience the absence of pain until you experience the presence of forgiveness. And you're not forgiven for Dad. You're not forgiving for him. You're forgiving for you. So you come out on top. So that's the first one. The first one is forgiving. And let me get you the second one. The second one is the warrior must accept his father again through Christ. Must accept. Would you just say accept? Because this is pretty big. Accept. Accept. Now, I want to read you the scripture. It's in Romans 15:7. It says, accept. Romans 15:17. Accept one another, then. Just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Now, not only do we forgive just as we were forgiven, but we accept just as we were accepted. And here's where I was at a while ago. We're not accepting what was done wrong to us. We're not accepting the thing that was done. We're accepting the person. And again, just as Christ accepted you. You see, he didn't say, okay, I like this about you and I like this about you, but I don't like this about you and I'm not going to accept this. No, he accepts us just like we are. And he expects us now to move in that same mood and to accept one another. Accept Dad. Don't accept what he does wrong. Accept him. Now, back to what I was sharing with you about the son idolizing his dad and Lance idolizing me and all of that stuff. When Lance was here, he doesn't do that now. he's learned better. He's learned I couldn't live there. You know, I wasn't that perfect person. But when he lived here and he worked here, we saw each other every day. And we communicated every day. We didn't only communicate here at church. We would go to the movies together. We'd go fishing together. We'd hung out together. We would mow yards. We just hung together. And we were buddies, not just father-son. Now, when he moved, and he's now 12 hours away from me, and when he moved, you see, we lost that communication. And neither of us are phone people. He nor I likes to pick up the phone and have long conversations on the phone. We like to say what we want to say, hang it up, and get back to what we're doing. But we have found a unique way, a way that works for us to communicate and stay in touch, and it's via email. And so what we do, maybe once a month or so, we'll sit down and write long emails. And it's kind of unprecedented for guys to kind of do this. It's like 4 or 5 page email. We'll write to one another. Long. And it works for us. We share our hearts, we share our feelings, our emotions, what we're going through, what we're experiencing. And it just works for us. And so last Tuesday, nearly on cue, he sent me one. And I wanted to take a portion of it. And remember now what I'm trying to tell you is that when a child is a son, he idolizes his dad. But then something kind of happens and the dad can't live to that pinnacle. So there's something else has to take place so that the relationship can continue. And so let me read to you just an excerpt from Lance's email. He wrote this. I just want to say that I think you are an amazing father and a great leader. For some reason, I've been thinking about that lately. There just aren't many people who can make the claim of such a good relationship with his kids throughout their lives and stay in one church as its senior pastor for over 20 years. I'm always proud of you and respect you more than you'll ever know. I just wanted to let you know what I've been thinking. He knows I'm not perfect. I'm not the perfect person that he idolized as a son. But he knows, and he accepts me for who I am. Have I ever hurt Lance? Of course I have. You don't work for somebody that long or around somebody that much. But he accepts me for who I am, not what he wants me to be. And we have this thing with our dads, this is what we want them to be. Listen, they'll never be all you want them to be. You have to accept them. Warrior, you have to push past the pain. And you have to accept your dad as Christ accepted you. And when you can move in it in that way, you're going to begin to make the turn. And you're going to heal the relationship. Now, I want to change gears just a little bit. I want to help us warriors in another way. I want to talk about our sons, your sons. Not only to help you understand them and help them understand you, but also maybe help repair a breach that maybe you have with your sons. So let me talk about this. See, warrior, you empower more than anybody else. You can empower your son for success by doing three things. Three things. And I want to give these to you. They're so important. And I really hope you get the notes and or either write this stuff down, one of the two. But number one is you got to relay to him and let him know and verbalize it by saying, I believe in you. And you can't take this, you can't just say, well, I know he knows I believe in him. No. You got to say it. You got to verbalize it. Don't take it for granted. You got to let him know, son, you got what it takes. Man, you're sharp enough to do what anything you want to do. You can do it. You can pull it off. You got what it takes. My dad did this really well. My dad was not an educated man, but he would let me know that he believed in me. I would work with him, and I was a little more mechanical ability, had more mechanical ability and more education. So there were some things that he just wasn't prepared to do that I could do, and so I would do it for him. He said, "Where did you learn to do that?" He's, you're so smart. And I wasn't, but he made me think I am. And, you know, where did you learn to do that? I didn't teach you how to do that. I am that. I believe. Listen, you can do anything you want to do. And I do that with my son. I've told Lance since he was just a little guy, you are so smart, man. And really, there were times I said, where did you learn to do that? I mean, especially with some grammar issues and things like that. spelling and those kinds. I mean, it was, but you know, man, you're so smart. Man, I believe in you, Lance. You can do it. And I still do it in every communication, in every email. I let him know, I believe in you. That's number one. The second thing that you've got to share and let your son know without, and don't take it for granted, but verbalizing it is this: I am proud of you. I'm so proud of you. My dad, I'll never forget, we were camping one time, he and I, and just, you know, father-son deal, and he said to me, he says, Delbert Ray, that's what he called me because that's my name, Delbert Ray, I am so, his name was Delbert too, so I was Delbert Ray, I listen, man, your mom and I was talking this last night, we're so proud of you, you've accomplished so much already, when I was your age, I didn't have nearly what you have. I hadn't accomplished nearly what you have accomplished already. We are so proud of you and Judy and your family. We're so proud of you. And don't take it for granted that your son knows this stuff. Listen, you got to verbalize it because you're empowering this person for success. They believe you, Dad. And then the third thing, don't believe in you. Second thing is I'm proud of you. And then the third thing is I love you no matter what. I always will. I love you. You need to verbalize this as my dad did. We would go to my dad's house. Well, mom died in 93, but even before she died, he did this. It just became more apparent after she had died. But after she died in 93, I had 6 years with dad before he passed away in 99. And we would never go that my daddy wouldn't tell each one of us individually that he loved us. He would say to my children, Grandpa loves you. Grandpa loves you. And he would say that every time. And he would say to me, Daddy loves you, son. Daddy loves you. And I never doubted, not one time, that my daddy didn't love me. And this is how you empower a child. We see this with Jesus and with Father God. And we read about it. Jesus is being baptized by John the Baptist. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, it says this. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And it goes on and it says, and a voice, and this is the part, and a voice from heaven said, hey, everybody, that's my boy. Hey, that is my boy. I believe in this boy. That's my boy. He walks like me. He talks like me. He does that's my boy. And you know what? I love that kid. I love him. I love him. He's a chip off the old block. Man, I am crazy about this kid. I love him. And you know what else? I am so proud of him. I am so pleased. He makes me so proud. That's my boy. We know what Jesus did because Father empowered him. And we get to do that with our children. We get to do that with our sons. See, this is what God does. And warriors, this is how you empower your sons. This is how you prepare your sons for life. My dad died in 1999, 6 years ago. Well, no longer than that now. Gosh, I don't know. 9 years ago. Anyway, he died. And his words, though, still echo in my head, in my heart. I know my dad believed in me, and I still, and I believe I can do anything. I really believe that anything I want to do, I can do it. And you know what? I know I'm loved. And I am worth being loved. And you know what else? My daddy loved me, and therefore I know my Father God loves me. And no matter what I do, my daddy loved me, and I know no matter what I do, my Father God's going to love me. And you know why I believe that? Because Daddy said so. Daddy said so. Doesn't matter what everybody else said. Daddy said it, so it's true. There's a power in verbal affirmation, unlike any other power from a dad. Now moms affirm too. But they affirm like this. You're so cute. You're so sweet. And they do that licky thing, you know. Get this little chocolate off your mouth. Dads don't care if there's chocolate on the mouth. Let's see who can belch the loudest. That's how a dad does it. Come on. Or do something the loudest. But we do that kind of stuff. I would love to tell you a story about Max, but I can't. It embarrass him. But... we have a contest. You know, we just. Yeah. My grandson. Yeah. And, you know, that's how. Come on. Let's wrestle. Come on. And roll on the floor. And, you know, let's go chunk some ball. Let's go throw some. Man, that's a great spiral. Woo. See, this is how a dad affirms. This is how a dad lets the kid know, man, I love being with you. Look, you can do this stuff. Now, let me tell you how this works out in life. You do it all the time. You don't just do it once. Do it all the time. And here it works out. See, one of the things that bothered Lance the most when he messed up, when he did something he knew he wasn't supposed to do, whether he got caught or not, it bothered him because he felt he had disappointed me and his mother. His conscience bothered him. He would tell us, no, shouldn't have done this. You see, and this bleeds out into how he does with Heavenly Father, with Father God. And do wrong, whether you get caught or not, it bothers you. Your conscience strikes you. And it's not a performance-related thing anymore. It's a love relation. I love my Father God, so I don't want to disappoint him. I love my dad. I didn't ever want to disappoint my dad. this bleeds into life. And you change from being in a prison of performance, and you change to coming out into a love. I love my son no matter what he does. God loves me. One day, warrior, sir, your son will either have this said to him or he'll think it. And these words will either be his greatest compliment or his greatest insult. In the words of these, maybe some of you could go ahead and tell me what they would be. You're just like your daddy. Now, he's going to respond in one of two ways. He's going to say, "Don't say that about me. I hate him. I don't want that. And it's an insult, and it sticks him in the heart further. Or they'll say, "You're just like your daddy," and he'll say, "Really? Do you really? My dad was a hero to me. My dad, man, to me he hung the stars and the moon. I know he wasn't perfect, but man, I love my daddy. He was a man of God, and he did right. Thank you. Thank you for seeing that in me." It will either be his greatest insult, or it will be his greatest reward. Let's pray. Father, thank you for warrior dads, men who have received your spirit. Thank you. Thank you for men, Father, who want to turn and want to make it right and want to love their dads. Thank you. Help us, Lord. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to talk to you men first. And maybe I've been poking around too much in your heart, and I don't mean to. I'm trying to help. Maybe you've got this wound. It's time to heal. And it's time to forgive. And it's time to accept. And it's time to go on. And for a couple of reasons. One is you're going to get out of the prison of performance. And two, you're going to stop hurting those that you love and those that love you. It's time to allow God to really start working here for you and trusting Him that it's going to be okay. He's going to fix it. It's time to turn. So if that's you, and maybe beyond that, maybe there's a dysfunction between you and your children, and your sons or your grandchildren or whatever. It's time to turn. You can do it, but will you do it? So if that's you, and maybe you're carrying this wound, and you just want to say, "God, help me. It's through you. Will you help me, Lord?" If this is you, and you just want the Lord to really help you get past this and heal from this, would you raise your hand and just give me the honor to pray with you right where you're sitting? Would you raise your hand? See hands. Hands everywhere. See hands. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Father, thank you. For men who want to be warriors, honest men, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And I pray for them, Father, that by your Spirit, because it's only through your Spirit, that they will have the power of forgiveness and the power of acceptance. And Lord, they'll make this turn and they'll begin the healing process. And that, Lord, a year from now, they'll have reunited and fixed and corrected and healed. I speak that. I speak that in Jesus' name. Now, heads bowed and eyes still closed. Now, I want to expand this to women. The scripture in Malachi said, "Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers." Now, maybe you as a girl, all these still apply. We're just dealing with the warrior. All these principles still apply. Maybe your dad hurt you. He hurt you bad. Same thing. You got to forgive as you're forgiven, and you got to accept him as you are accepted. And your doing this will help your child. So if this is you, would you give me the honor of just praying for you, just like I did for your husbands or for your men or for these men in here? If this is you, would you raise your hand and just let me pray with you? I see hands. I see hands. Hands everywhere. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for these women who want to be warrior princesses. Father, they want to make the turn. They want to heal their hearts, and they also want to reconcile the situation. So, Father, I pray now by your Spirit, because it's only through the Spirit forgiveness can really happen. It's only through the Spirit that acceptance can only happen. So, Father, I ask you now to help them by your Spirit. I release that upon the men and the women. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. Just one more group I need to address here. Men and women now. Maybe you have a dysfunction with your heavenly father. It may have happened because of a dysfunction with your earthly father. Maybe not. But you know your relationship is not where it should be with God. I want you to take this opportunity to correct that. He wants you to know today that he's turning to you. And he wants you to turn to him. And he wants you to know that if you will, he's going to meet you. He's going to kiss you on the neck. He's going to hug you. He wants you to know, men and women, that he's going to give you the robe of righteousness so that you can live right. He wants to know that he's going to put on the ring of you, the ring for prosperity. You're going to have a great life. He wants you to know he's going to give you the sandals so you can walk correctly. He wants you to know he's going to throw you a party. He says, I'm turning to you. Will you turn to me? My heart is turned to you. I will always believe in you. I will always be proud of you. And I will always love you, no matter what. Will you turn to me today? So if this is you, men or women, would you raise your hand and say, I want to have a great relationship with my Heavenly Father. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand right where you're sitting? Right where you're sitting. Hand, one hand. Any others? Any others?